Hey everyone, what's up and welcome back to the RS Coaching Podcast with today a special guest named Mo Falk. Last week I put up a message on my Instagram to ask all of you guys who the most up and coming and mostly underrated artist was from this moment, and the most named name was Mo Falk. And to be honest, I never heard of him before, so I started looking him up. And I was pretty impressed, so I decided to invite him for the podcast. And it ended up being a great decision. You guys have been right, because he is doing really well at this moment. He's preparing really well for the upcoming months and years. He has a plan, he has a strategy, and he's doing it the way how I believe you should be building an artist career at this point in time. Aside from that, he was a great guy, super energetic, super positive. So overall, I'm happy with the result and I'm 100% sure that it will bring value to you guys. So that's it for now. Enjoy listening to this week's podcast with Mo Falk. Hey man, what's up?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for taking the time, man. I'm all good. Thank you. Just before we get started, I have a cough, which is pretty annoying. So if I start coughing a lot, don't worry, it's there.
That's okay. I literally just went into the kitchen to get like a really quick sip of water. And I also chugged it really weird. And I was just coughing all the time as well. So perfect.
Great. Perfect. Yeah, great. So for me, but for also for the people who are listening or watching to this right now, who are we talking to?
Oh, I am Mo Falk. I am a music producer, an artist from Germany. I've been making music for a long time, and I release a lot of like electro house and color house and bass house music everywhere.
Nice. Well, the funny thing is you came on my radar through my following, actually, because last week or 2 weeks ago, I asked in the stories, who is an artist that like an up and coming artist that really is underrated at this moment and really needs more attention. And your name came up a couple of times. So I was like, who the hell is this guy? And I've never known or seen your name. So I thought like, you know what, let's just text him and see if he's open to do a podcast, because people are interested in you and want to hear more about you. So I'm that's curious perfect. As well. Yeah.
Such kind so people that you have on your Instagram stories.
It's they're definitely kind, and they're mostly music producers and DJs. So I think you could say you are starting to build a fan base.
That's perfect. It's a nice I need thing, nothing right? else. That's good.
Yeah. So, Mo Falk, right?
Yes.
And you mentioned Color House. That's also something I found on, I think it was even in your biography on Instagram. Is that like a self-made up genre or? Yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tell me. So, tell me about it.
I've been thinking a lot about, you know, branding, marketing, everything. It's like, I really like this kind of stuff. And I, over the pandemic, right? A lot of time in the studio, a lot of like experimental phases happening. And yeah. I kind of developed a new sound. Like not, I didn't come up with it, but I, you know, learned to do it really well. So basically it comes from color bass, which is like rhythm, dubstep, but melodic and harmonic and like colorful, and that's why it's called color bass, but it's 150 BPM, and I really like that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to put that in the context of 126 BPM, which is more housey, and instead of calling it color bass, I'll call it color house, and I'll just take all the sound design and like cool production techniques they use, but put it in a house context. And nobody seemed to do it at the time, so I was really happy. I was like, oh my god, this is like a new thing. I'll be the ambassador.
It's actually working.
House. Let's go. Yeah.
And it's a smart move.
It's really cool, because now that I have like, you know, especially on my streams and stuff, there's a lot of people now making a lot of good color house. And nice. I can now be like, yeah, I came up with that. Obviously I didn't, you know, they did do it before, but now it has a name and it's out there and hopefully it's going to catch on.
The godfather of color house.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, like Don is the godfather of future house and like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
you could see yourself in that position.
To Don, but maybe in the future sometime.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. So you mentioned you've been making music for a long time now. How long is long?
Well, electronic music, I think probably 6 years now, which is usually not that long for like that industry, right? Like you usually have people that make like 10 years, 12, 20 years, I don't know. Especially at my level, I feel like I'm probably one of the like least experienced. But I've been making music since I'm four, had a very classical music upbringing. I played cello, played bassoon, like all the like really weird classical, you know, orchestra and instruments. I had them all. Then I played drums for 8 years and like all of that musical stuff. Like for example, my grandparents, they're music teachers. They have a music school. They teach violin and like recorder, and it's super weird, but obviously that's like the background. So it's always been musical. And then I had a really rebellious phase where I had to get out of that. You know, we make classical music in our family. And I was like, nah, I'm going to be different. I'm going to make electro house. And then everybody was like, ah, can't make, you know, blah, it's too aggressive. And I was like, it's fine. It was like my,
that's not music. That's not music. Yeah.
Typical thing when people like go into a rock band and then play heavy metal. That was my kind of heavy metal.
Yeah.
So I would say like electronic music, 6 years, which is not that long, but yeah.
And is that also when you started with the MoFog brand?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So the MoFog brand is pretty young. I think it's like 4 years old, 3 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've tried to do MoFog brand for a long time, but that was when it first like worked because before that it was really cringe and it didn't really work.
Oh, really? What changed over time?
Well, I guess, well, obviously the music got better. So as I was making more music, I got kind of more credible. So labels would actually release my music as well. So as soon as that happened, obviously then the name appears on Spotify, it appears Apple Music, you know, and then it's like, oh, MoFog is a thing. Before it was just like weird Twitter posts with weird SoundCloud links, like, hey, listen to my new track.
It was a little, and are you talking about bigger labels now or also smaller labels?
No, like I had this weird branding thing that I do. For now, I've not released on any small labels, like small in quotations. I've only really released on Hexagon and Future House Music and NCS. And now I hope to get into Monster Cat and Stamped, hopefully one day. But that's really it. Like I've never really released on like a smaller thing because I was really lucky in the beginning. I got picked up really quickly by Hexagon, by Don. I think they really liked, like, it was Mammut in the beginning, was a really like original sound designy track, and since then I've always had that stepping stone, so that's the start. So I've always been really reluctant to go down a step, so I've always tried to like stay above. Not sure if that's the best move, but for me it felt really right. And also it was a really nice, like, you know, like, how do I define whether a track is completed or not? If it can get released on a big label, it's probably good enough if the A&Rs think it's good enough. So I've always used that as like a measure.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's something a lot of artists struggle with, you know, like when is a track finished or when is it not? And having, like you say, like a meter or what do you say? A measurement of like, when a label likes to sign it, it would mean that it's good enough. It's a good thing to think about it. How did you end up at Hexagon for your first release? Because most of the people I talk to really struggle to get in touch with those labels.
Yeah, that was a different time. Now this doesn't happen anymore like this. Back then, Hexagon was the only label. Like it was the coolest future house label. There was really no other label. There was maybe Musical Freedom, but you really wanted to get on Hex. That was like the shit. Sorry.
No worries. You can swear.
Label and all the cool breakout tracks were all there. Every track would get like millions of plays. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be so famous if I get on Hexagon. And at the time, I mean, I still am, but at the time I was a really, really big Don Diablo fan. And I even went to his shows. I had like all the merch and stuff. And for me, that was always like the thing. If he plays my track, I would have made it. Like this is... I will stop making music almost, you know? And then that's where it started off. I was like, oh my God, that's actually crazy. And I actually did it through Label Radar. Back in the day, nobody used Label Radar, but for some reason it came up, maybe got an ad or something. I was like, oh, that's cool. You can submit your tracks to labels and they will guaranteed listen. I was like, that's not right, but I'll try it. Why not?
How long ago is this?
Through, like 4 years, maybe. 3 years, something like that. And then they actually answered that email through Label Radar, and it's like, oh, we really like this, let's put it into our like podcast, like radio show on Wednesday. And I was like, okay, cool, that's insane. And then they got really good feedback from everybody about the track, and all the Hexagonians were like, oh, who's this guy? Who's this guy? And at the time I just went into uni. I just started an Instagram account. I just, you know, started everything. So it was a perfect like timing thing. And then eventually they were like, yeah, everybody loves it, let's put it into one of the like Hexagon Weapons EP thing. And then nice. It was part of that group of, I think it was like Jordan J, Smack, yeah. Matt Nash. Like it was a really like big name thing, and MoFalk at the bottom. I was like, it was crazy. And then through that, obviously, I got like a really nice connection now with the A&R, because, well, we've worked on a lot of tracks and we really like each other. He's really nice, stuff like that.
Yeah. So in the past 4 years, 4 years ago, you signed with Hexagon then? Somewhat.
Well, I signed tracks with them. I've never actually signed anything exclusively.
Okay, smart move.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really clever. Everybody else always got locked into their like exclusive deals, and I was always there like, I can do whatever I want, it feels good.
Yeah. And have you released on other labels now?
Yes. So I've obviously, you know, Future House Music, a big part of now of all my releases. Then I have NZS, which are really nice for like the YouTube streams and everything like that, because you get like a lot of like weird creator support for some reason. Like it's not the big streaming numbers, but you get a lot of, because it's royalty free, right? Everybody can use it, and they do use it, which is really nice. And I mean, that's about it. I've done a lot of like, you know, right now I'm trying to get into Stamped, and I probably got it in Musical Freedom, and like I just want to branch out and, you know, have a release with every audience, because in the end I want to have my own audience, not have to release with the label anymore. So I'm being very cheeky. I'm just releasing everywhere a little bit so that all the audience notice me, and then they come to me and I'll keep them as my own.
What's funny is that you really, well, at least you sound like you really have a plan. Like you've thought about this.
I have, my plan goes, I think a lot of the time people underestimate the amount of planning that goes into creating an artist brand. They think, oh, you just make music and that's it. No, there is, music is maybe 2%. And if you make good music, it's maybe 3% of your entire brand. It's, you can, the amount of people who are successful with shitty music is insane. So don't worry about the music so much. Maybe worry a little bit about branding, marketing, how to build a good website, learn HTML, learn how to code. You know, I learned how After Effects work, Premiere, Photoshop. Like, there's so much things. How to write a business plan. Most people don't know how to write a business plan. You know, stuff like this is really valuable long-term, I think.
Is that something you've learned yourself, or is it like maybe your family, there's a background in entrepreneurship, or friends, or?
If my mom could hear this, no, no.
Okay.
My entire family is very, very bad handling money, handling anything. Like, we're not really good with like building brands and stuff like that usually. My mom always tries, and kind of my dad has to then, you know, pick up the slack, get the money back somehow. It's really funny. No, I think it's more like a me thing. I really like to do everything step by step and grow slowly rather than have like one big impact and then lose it all again. Like the, you know, just slowly, surely build everything. And for me, I really enjoy just like learning stuff. So I'll teach myself how to sound design something the same way I will teach myself how to build a website using HTML and like Java. And, you know, that's something I really enjoy. I watch math videos on like computational math for my free time. I enjoy watching that. People don't understand. I'm like, yeah, it's so cool, it's calculus, go watch it. It's like they're integrating forms and stuff. I'm like, you're so weird. Like, I'm a real nerd. So
well, you're super eager to learn. That's how it sounds to me.
And I think it comes from that, just like I always think in the future maybe I'll have someone do it for me, all the work, but I would really like to know how it's done first, so that then I can actually give good input. And
good start. You mentioned music being 2%, maybe 3% of the career. What's the other 96-97%?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's 3%, but it's very little. It's very little.
What's the other things that you focus on more than music? Let's just say that.
Yeah. So, obviously for me right now, the biggest thing is just like keeping a good mental health, because so many people struggle with writer's block and like being creative and all of those things. And to me, that's usually stress related. So the more stressed you are, the more things you have going on that are not, you know, that you have no influence over, you know, are distracting. I feel like that's really impactful on like how good your songs are, how happy you are overall, how far you're willing to go, how much risk you're willing to take. Like, I feel it's all just mental health related. So I'm
and how are you working on that? Like, what's the thing you do to maintain your mental health?
Well, I have a really amazing girlfriend who helps me with that. She always pulls me out when I'm like super tunnel visioned or something, or but as things I do is, like, for example, I just recently started taking cold showers in the morning, because, you know, like, I don't even think it's necessarily like the specific things that happen. It's just getting into routine of doing things that are good for you and like swallowing the frog in a way. I don't know if that's like, maybe that's a German saying, but like,
swallowing the frog. Yeah, that's...
No, like, think about this. If you have a frog to swallow every day and you swallow it every day, it's just one frog every day, you'll be fine. But if you procrastinate and you don't do it, and like, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow you're like, ah, I'll do it the week after. And then you have like 12 frogs to swallow one day because there's a deadline coming up. You're like, ah, shit, that's so disgusting. And then you take all of those 12 frogs, but all of those days that you didn't eat a frog, you were theoretically happy that you didn't have to eat a frog, but at the end of the day, you're like, ah, shit, tomorrow I'll have to eat it, right? So you were never really fully free. Whereas if you just eat it every day, it might not be as nice, but, you know, at least quick you'll pain. Have free day, you'll have free headspace. So, like, you know, getting into good habit of having, you know, nice hobbies, good nutrition, you know, doing sports, exercising. Like, that's what works for me. I realize it's different for everybody else, but...
Well, it's nice to see an artist spending time on that for a change, you know. Like, I talk to a lot of artists from all different types of levels of artists, but it's actually my work to help artists with these type of things, and I don't see a lot of artists really think about it or to realize that it impacts their creativity that much. So it's good for me to see that an artist does this from itself. Yeah,
I think it's really valuable. And what do you say? Yeah, I think it's really underestimated, like, how valuable it is. And I've only realized this like a year ago. Before that, I was super workaholic. I'd work like 14 hours a day, do music every day, and then just brute force it, like the grind mindset. And it works. It works, but it's not sustainable. And if you want to make it sustainable, if you don't want to burn out after 5 years, I do think there's a great, you know, value had.
Exactly. In, you know, it's actually... Let me double check, because I lost the sentence, which is bad. But the first slogan you see on the website of artist coaching is become a successful artist and make it sustainable. Right?
Let's go. Yes.
To me, that's the most important thing. Like, becoming successful is one thing. You can become successful by working your ass off. But once you're successful, finding the perfect... the perfect balance in there and make it sustainable, that's the bigger challenge, in my opinion. So the earlier you start doing that, like you're doing right now, I think that's a great way to start. You look like you're super happy and you're super energized at this point.
I am. I took a cold shower before this. I had a great fruit juice, did some nice music. It's like, it's so weird because it also works the opposite way. So if you're having a bad day and it's not going your way, you'll also be less energized and not take the cold shower and not do anything for yourself. And then you also have, you know, like radiate negative energy. But like today I'm having a good day, yes.
And it's so easy to give in on those things, like not taking the cold shower, but taking a hot shower, or staying on the couch for a bit longer, or eating chips instead of some vegetables or whatever.
Not swallowing the frog.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good comparison you made there. So we have the mental part. What's left in that time.
Yeah, so I think everything else is, for me at least, I think is skill-based. So if you have a lot of money, you can afford people that do work for you, right? So I don't know, you can pay a graphic designer, you can pay a manager, you can pay, you know, singers, vocalists, you can do everything with money, basically. But you need the money. So I don't have that type of money. So I want to learn to do it myself because I think it's valuable, first of all, not to spend that money. And then also doing everything yourself. It's kind of cool. Like it feels like you're really producing something, creating something. So for me, I think one of the biggest things is digital everything. So like appearance, marketing, all of that. I feel like it's very closely related to design and marketing and just branding, all of that stuff. How to use Photoshop, how to use After Effects, how to put everything together, where do you put it together, which platform you do it on. Like, I think, you know, it's very far reaching, obviously, but I would say that's probably half of all I do is just think about content, think about strategies, implementing those and then sticking with them. It's, yeah, I think that's probably the biggest part of my work, which hand in hand goes with building the community and the audience, because if that is really strong, if you have a really strong brand and people do want to be part of it and, you know, interact, you get more streams, you get a bigger audience, you have more people caring, which is what you want to have. So I think that's why it's such a big part, is because if it's very easily recognizable what you are, what you do, people will naturally just, you know, cater, you know, be in that audience, I guess.
Yeah. I'm so happy that you say this because it makes complete sense to me, at least. I'm not sure if anyone else would agree, but to me, I would say content and well, let's say content. So the marketing, sorry, the marketing, there's the cough. Yeah, it took me about 20 minutes, but here you go. It's off. To me, the content part, so the marketing, the promotion, the branding, the building the community part is probably even more important than music. I do believe that it's a great idea to spend more time on that at this point than making the music, because most artists can make music in not that much time, you know, like 1 or 2 days a week. You should be able to create at least one track a month, in my opinion. And the other 2, 3, maybe even 4 days a week, you can spend on things like designing all your art covers, your social media posts, editing your videos, recording the videos, creating strategies like you mentioned. And the funny thing is that once, before this call, I started looking to your Instagram and starting to do some small, short research. And instantly when I saw that page, I was like, I was like, this guy gets it. You know, you just saw like the way how you create everything, how you post everything. There's a thought behind it. There's a strategy behind it. Yeah, I just really think that the way how you're doing it right now is the way to do it in 2022.
I really appreciate that. That is the kindest words I will probably hear today. Thank you. I think a great deal isn't not my ideas, you know. Like there is great people, like for example, I learned a lot from like Music by Lucas. I don't know if you know him. He has like his big coaching thing as well. Not that I want to encourage the competition here, but he helped me. He had a lot of like really nice like pointers on like how do you format your social media and how do you like generate people, like how do you get people from the profile visit, which is already difficult to get, then to actually stick and care about what you do. And obviously I don't think I'm the best and I don't think it's optimized at all, but I try for it to be. And in the end, you know, when you come here and you say, yeah, it's really cool, that's, you know, big, big success for me. So like, it's almost like on a website, like e-commerce website, for example, you can think of it as like a purchase funnel, I think it's called, where you have like a bunch of people
marketing funnel.
Inside. How many people view it, how many people put it in the cart, and then of those people, how many buy it. And the same thing, I think, applies to like, you know, growing the audience and building the profile. Yeah. Like there's a lot of people seeing the stories or reels, then there's even like just a percentage of those people going onto your profile, and you want to take as many of those people and convert them somehow, either to your other channels or for them to stay on Instagram or consume your content somehow, become an like ideally active listener in your music. Yeah, things like that.
Yeah, but this is like the business part you're talking about, you know, and that's a absolutely part that most artists seem to forget, because they think building a music career is all about music, which it is, because without music, you're nothing. But it's definitely not the most important part that you should focus on. You're building a business.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You're building a business, and you should use the tools businesses use to grow as an artist.
Yeah,
I think the music is just the excuse, to be honest. Like, I think successful artists are influencers. They're not musicians. And yeah, I think approaching it that way makes it much more logical, I think, to think about the entire process. Yeah. It's not so much like, hey, I'm an artist, I am doing what I love, and you should care. No, you need to work really hard for people to care. And if they care like just enough, they will maybe check out the music.
Yeah. Well, I think I do believe there's room for both. So I also do believe that there are artists who will make it just by making something, creating something that they like. And if you don't like it, fuck it. That's just a small minority, you know. The most of the artists who we know have become big by building a community, by building a brand. And that community, the fan base that you're talking about, catering towards that fan base is so important, especially these days.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I agree, there's people that, you know, have done it otherwise. There's always the exception. But that's usually like the overnight success type story. I think people that have like slowly but surely grown usually have a plan. They usually go just a little beyond everybody else that's not growing as fast or something like this. If you think about, like, my example is always Virtual Riot, dubstep producer, you know, very successful in America and everywhere, really. He has an insanely talented manager and an entire like management firm that I wanted to get into. That's how I know. And they are so smart. They work on things like two corners around what you're thinking about, and they come up with plans when he's asleep. So when he's not working, there's a like 12 people team working on cool opportunities and content and everything. So obviously everybody knows him because there are so many smart people behind him supporting his vision and him. He's basically the face, but he doesn't do, like, obviously he makes music, you know, and he did build all of that to get to a point where he could get the team. But now the team, like, without the team, team is really important, and like everything else around everything, like we already said, you know, it's old news, but
it's so I know where you are right now in your career. If you would ask me, I would say you're a super trending and up-and-coming DJ who has a lot of attention at this point and is kind of on the verge of flipping towards the higher levels. That's what I see, and I would give you less than a few months to make it. So I would say this will be the year that you make the flip, in my opinion. Not to put any pressure on you, but that's the way how I see it. So where do you see the future, as in what are you working on right now? Not necessarily the songs, but what's your plans? What are the things that you think about?
Yeah. So I think it's not going to... If it happens this year, I'd be surprised. I think this year is the foundation for it to happen the next year. I think right now, the whole color thing is still very new. I'm still learning a bunch of stuff about the community and like building it. And for example, I've just stopped uploading on YouTube for the past 4 months. So I think it needs to be more consistent and all of that I'm working on. And I think then it's going to, you know, like I just need one thing to explode. And then I'll have everything else already built so that then everything can grow with it. Whereas usually if you just explode with your music, but there's no content, nothing, it's just going to be the music. And once that's dead again, you're back to zero, which I hope won't happen to me, because I'll build everything, have the foundation, and then grow that. So right now I'm actually focusing on, well, building the foundation and like getting everything in place where it makes sense for the community to grow. Because right now, if the community grows, my Discord is going to overflow. We only have a bunch of mods. They're all going to be like full-time mods then, you know, like there's like it's going to be crazy. So what I'm doing now is, for example, I am learning since 2 weeks already how to build websites, how to build interactive websites, you know, like crazy stuff. And also focusing on Patreon stuff so that I can be more independent from labels to do my own thing, because I think people really appreciate just, you know, an artist that just does his thing. Yeah. And I want to create a space, almost like a website or like an app. Don't think of it as an app, but like somewhere where you go and you immediately know, okay, this is the MoFolk sphere. Like this is
like the Clubhouse.
It's like you have the music, you have maybe Patreon, you have Twitch, you have YouTube, and it's all smartly combined into like one package. And that's what I'm developing right now. Like that's my plan for this year, is to get that all really congruent. So everything makes sense, so that when you're on the YouTube, you know, this is the guy that I've also seen on TikTok, who's like, the branding is all the same, the colors are all the same, everything makes sense. He's always the same personality. You know, like I try to be myself, but everything just one package. That's my goal, so that when something blows up, the package blows up, not one thing.
Exactly. You have a fundament which you can build on.
Yeah. So right now I'm learning web design, if you want to.
Smart move. That's not what someone would expect if you think about an artist, you know, like someone who's focusing on building or learning how to build a website. Interesting.
It's important. It's important. Again, it goes back to the thing of doing everything yourself and then building something that's meaningful.
Exactly.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No worries. What's the thing that helped you the most? What's the thing that you learned that helped you the most?
Ooh. Here's one thing. It might not be the thing that helped me the most, but I think it's the biggest like eye-opener for me. And not my credit to Jordan Jay, who's a good friend of mine. He told me this because we had a talk about, you know, like, I'm too scared to do TikTok. I'm too scared to put content out there. Like, I don't feel comfortable. I don't think it's at the production value where it should be, stuff like this. And he said, just do it. Because in the end, if you do something and it fails, nobody sees it. No harm done. Nobody will have seen it. So you can just take it back down. Because nobody saw it. Nobody noticed because it failed. But if it does really well, people will like it. A lot of people will have seen it. And then it really doesn't matter how well it was, because a lot of people saw it. So there's always incentive to put it out. Either way, either it will fail, nobody have seen it, no harm done, you will have learned something, or it does really well and it really does matter. So I think that for me was like, oh, that's a really nice mindset. I'm going to do that. So I think a lot of the times people are very perfect, like perfectionistic. Is that a thing? Like they try to do everything perfectly. So before it's perfect, they don't put it out. And that really got away, like for me, with that like thought. I don't know. I hope that
it's mostly connected. The perfectionism is mostly connected to insecurities, and the insecurities in that matter are blocking you from putting out the content that will actually help you to build your brand and to overcome those insecurities, which you did by maybe hearing the right words at the right time or whatever it was. Something clicked which made you overcome the mental blockage, and now you're putting out content I think on a daily basis. It looks great. It's engaging. It really looks like you're building the brand right now, so I think you made a good decision there, and it's pretty it's a big accomplishment to overcome a mental block like that, because I've spoken to a lot of artists who are still dealing with those things, maybe even years after working on it, you know. For some people it comes more natural than the other. As you can see, it definitely helps. Content is the key at this point.
Yes, I think so too. The reach is just insane. If you have good content that people enjoy and the algorithm picks it up, the reach is absolutely mental compared to like not creating content, being like the artistic type of artist, which also works sometimes. But Why not try everything, you know?
Yeah. And don't forget that a good piece of content can get a bigger reach than your music.
Absolutely. And that's where I was going to end this on, like, the algorithm stuff. Like, it's very unpredictable. And like, people say there's like a 10% chance that a post will do really well. All the 90% of, like, the rest will just do average or bad. So if you post a reel or a TikTok or something like that, most of the time it's not going to do well. But then there's always that one that does really well, that brings a lot of new eyeballs in, and they're going to stay. And they're going to stay for the other 90% that were really bad. They're still going to be happy to have those. And I think it's very discouraging nowadays to put content out when it doesn't do really well, because you're like, oh, what did I do wrong? You did nothing wrong. It's just how it works. But by being consistent, by putting out more content, in the end, there's going to be just a bit of that content that's going to do really well, attract more audience, more community, that stuff.
Yeah, great mindset, man.
Yeah, and I think obviously not perfect there, right? Still have a lot of, you know, like, barriers, like you said, to overcome, and like mental blocks. Obviously, everybody does. But one impulse I will give people that, you know, want to change things or want to move on is, it never comes out of the comfort zone. Like, the improvement, the self-improvement, or, you know, usually it doesn't come out of a comfort zone. It comes from you going outside the comfort zone and, you know, putting yourself out there, making yourself vulnerable to, you know, failure or other things. But if you don't try it out, if you don't get hurt, sometimes you'll never know.
So, yeah. There you go. Nice, man. Nice words. It's fun that, to going back to the cold shower, which you started this conversation with, it's the same thing, you know, that it's what you're doing there is taking yourself out of the comfort zone completely by going under a cold shower. Your whole body is screaming, leave this fucking shower right now. But you decide to stay.
And 2 seconds after, when I'm done, I feel amazing.
Exactly.
It takes only just a few seconds once the cold water is off where your body goes, ah, thank you for that. That was great. But while you're doing it, you want to stop. You can't. It hurts and it's not nice. But as soon as it's over, you're like, yes, it's the best thing you've done all day.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Listen, thanks for your time, man. I'm going to leave you because I know you have to go in a few minutes. But thanks for taking the time to do this. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and your ideas. I think it's super valuable for everyone who's watching or listening at this point. Best of luck with your career. And let's stay in touch. I'm looking forward to see how you grow this year.
Thank you very much for having me. It was really, really nice talk. And that's it.
Hey everyone, it's me again, Joey Suki. Hope you really enjoyed listening to this podcast, because I really did enjoy the conversation with Mo Falk. Just a quick notice for everyone who's listening right now. If you are not a member of the Artist Coaching Discord yet, make sure to join our Discord server and join over 300 artists and producers from all over the world to get to know each other better, get feedback on your music, those type of things, and overall, get smarter and build your network. So, thanks for listening again. See you guys soon. Bye.